Listening to Horror Nerds at Church, a ridiculously queer podcast, where we take a deep dive into a horror film and talk about how it connects to queerness, religion, and theology. My name is Pace, and I am that cold, chill feeling running down your spine whenever you enter a haunted building.
Ooh. And I'm Pastor Emily, and I am the mystery. Always unrested, unsolved, until the end of the movie.
Very nice, very nice. Mm-mm. So, friends, listeners, enemies, all the above, if you're listening to this episode, welcome. It is our retrospective. For a retrospective, we basically look at the entire season we've just covered and rank the movies. Talk a little bit about some of the overarching theological themes. And for many seasons that are themed like this one, we also kind of cover the lore of whatever theme we are following. So this one is ghosts. So we're going to talk a little bit about ghost lore. And they're usually a little bit bonus, extra length packed episodes. So I'm excited to get into this one. And it's a nice way to say farewell for a long summer break before we come back for a very exciting season, which we'll talk about later, even though we've already announced it. We'll talk about it at the end. So how are you doing, Emily?
I am doing pretty well. I am wrapping up my own job. So everything is just kind of coalescing a little bit. But doing pretty well. I'm excited about this conversation. I feel like, I mean, we talked about it in the last Ghostbusters movie of, like, when we hit our stride.
Yeah.
As a podcast. And it just, it feels good and fun to be podcasting. Like, I'm looking forward to a break because I need a break. And that's, like, literally ending my job is going on sabbatical. So, like, I could use a break. But I'm also just, like, really enjoying and appreciating the fun that we're having with the movies and stuff, so.
Yeah, I'm super, so I definitely need a break as well. Like, it's been a really good season, and this is the first season we've had that there haven't been major behind-the-scenes life changes.
That's true.
Like we, so,
yeah.
yeah, like, no divorce for me, no parents dying and deaths and household drama, no moving cross country, no co-host drama, not with the lovely Emily, but...
And Pace.
Speaking about other things. And, yeah, so I'm just really... This was a really good season. I'm super excited for season six. And you can also check out our new logo. I was going to launch it with season six, but I was too excited that I just started rebranding everything.
You gotta, like, launch now.
Right, right. So, check that out. So, lots of cool stuff. Have you been watching anything fun? Doing anything fun? Reading anything fun?
I have. I'm still working my way through the Star Wars From a Certain Perspective audiobooks, which are phenomenal.
Agreed.
And I just started listening to Unmasking Autism by, I think, Devin Price, which is really interesting.
My therapist wants me to listen to that, or read it.
So. I recommend. So far. Like, I think it came out a little while ago, but the author is both autistic and trans. And so I heard about it during the Trans Rights Readathon and didn't get to it then. So I've been mean that, yeah, and like watching a bunch of terrible documentaries. I mean, really well done documentaries, but like documentaries about terrible people and terrible things. So much more in line with Jesus camp stuff, for better and for worse. But and Warcross. Warcross is the book that I'm currently reading by Marie Lu, which I really enjoy. Marie Lu used to be a video game, like used to work in video games and like creating them. And so that's like a significant part of how the world is, that it's set in. So that's a fun. Yeah. What about you?
See, I have. Well, first, I want to say I'm surprised that you haven't started watching Star Wars Rebels for our season, which I'm sure is
I
going to
knew
happen
I
soon.
needed to watch something and I couldn't remember what, but also the first part of July I will have more time because I'm visiting my best friend and she has to work some of the days, and so.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, Star Wars Rebels. So, a little bit behind the scenes for our listeners about our upcoming season is the Clone Wars TV show is 7 seasons long. I picked 3 episodes for our boot tube, so Emily does not have to watch all that because that would be really much. But Star Wars Rebels is such a good show. I was like, please, Emily, I think you should watch the whole thing. And also, the episodes I want to cover for those are towards the end of the series. So Emily is putting in the time and due diligence to watch
Yes,
at
I'm
least
going to
one of
watch it,
those
and I
shows.
want to watch it. I just
Yeah.
forgot which one it was, and
It's all good.
then, yeah.
But let's see. I've been watching just a few like movies lately, which is nice because usually I'm like a big movie buff. Everybody knows this about Pace,
Yeah.
but like lately I just haven't been watching movies. I don't know why. I've talked about it in the past. Like I've been reading a lot. I've been doing a lot of video gaming and stuff, but I recently watched just this past week Last Action Hero, which is one of my favorites from childhood, and it still pretty holds up pretty well as far as like this campy meta sort of commentary in action movies. So check that one out if you want some early 90s classic Arnold Schwarzenegger that makes fun of itself kind of movie. And then I watched Scream 6, which everybody was raving about how awesome it was and how it's one of the best ones in their franchise. Do not hate me. I did not agree with that. Like, it's good. It's a solid entry, but like, I didn't think it was
The best.
the best, which maybe it's because of all the buzz around it. I was a little let down. That can sometimes happen. I
That
don't
does
know.
happen. Yeah.
But it was still a solid entry and I loved it. And then I also watched Venom, Let There Be Carnage, which was so gay, and I love that they went leaned into the gayness with it. The first one was gay, but I remember leaving the theater. I even like posted on social media. I was like, I love Venom, but it should have been gayer. And this one was it still could have been gayer. Like, it can always be gayer, don't get me wrong, but
Obviously.
this one was gayer in a way that made me happy. So anyway, so that's what I've been watching. I'm reading the Animorphs series still, so like I'm a third of the way through the 50 some books in that series. So
Not bad, not bad.
yeah,
Yeah.
so that's space. That's what I've been up to.
Makes sense. Animorphs, is Animorphs like space creatures?
It is. I'll give you like a very brief summary because it's kind of all the above. So basically, the plot of Animorphs is that there's a secret invasion going on by this parasitic alien that takes over people. So the parasite goes inside of the human and basically acts like the human, but they are being controlled by the parasite alien. So that invasion is happening. There's another space alien, the good guys, which are the Andalites, and they have this power to this technology that allows people to morph into other animals or into anything which the DNA they require. So the Yurks are already invading Earth. They're the parasites. The Andalites lost the battle above Earth, and so the last dying Andalite gives some human kids the power, the technology to morph. And so it's basically following the human kids as they use the animals that they can morph into as they battle against the Yurk invasion.
Okay, so that could be a book club, for example.
Could, you could.
We could do a book club on the Star Wars certain point of view, but we could also do that. Like, that would be in the general concept of aliens and space and stuff.
And it's a middle grade series, and I love me some, well, middle grade YA crossover, I'd say. It's kind of like older middle grade, early YA, but the books are short. That's one of the reasons I can just blow through them. And I think I'm on like book 20 and only started reading it last month. It's like I can read one in a day if I really want to. So they're
Wow.
pretty short, but really good. So anyway,
Nice.
and K.A. Applegate, as I talked about on the podcast before, is a very trans-affirming YA and middle grade reader, author, unlike some other authors out there who are. So I just love that about her. We stan K.A. Applegate.
Nice.
Well, are we ready to get into our retrospective?
I think we are.
Yay! Sweet. Well, first on the docket is to kind of talk about some of the overarching theological themes that we've discovered as we've followed Ghosts. A theme that kind of continues from last season is the theology of place. So we discovered
Right.
that in the Nightmare on Elm Street has this really strong theology of place, and that continues into this, where like haunted houses or places like the Cabrini Green and Candyman and stuff have such deep like historical or even contemporary significance that it like kind of resonates in some sort of spiritual world and brings about ghosts or hauntings or something like that, trauma that's associated with the place. So that's the theme we've come
Yeah.
to again and again.
Yeah, I thought it's so weird to have. Well, it was weird when it showed up so strongly in Nightmare on Elm Street. Although, like, given the name, I guess, like, we kind of could have assumed that there would be some sort of theology of place. But I didn't expect it, and maybe should have expected it more for a ghost-themed season. Because, yeah, so frequently haunted houses and like ghosts. I think almost every ghost story is tied to a place, right? There's some like the essence of what it means to have a ghost story or be a ghost is unfinished business. Unfinished business means it's connected to something. And I think there are a couple situations where like maybe it's someone. But even then, like, I'm thinking about a certain children's magical book series where, like, one of the characters originally was haunting a person and then was, like, relegated to the bathroom at the school. And so, and that was, like, a decision that somebody could make that wasn't, like, not her. But yeah, so I think those sorts of things are like interesting dynamics that happen, that are like now that I'm thinking about it intentionally, I'm like, oh yeah, obviously, that's what's gonna happen. But
And that kind of brings us into another big thing is the unfinished business nature of ghosts, which is one of the things that I love about this season is your discovery of like really vibing with ghost movies
Yeah.
because of the unfinished business mystery aspect to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I did not anticipate, again, I did not anticipate it, but I do love like problem solving and trying to figure out what's going on and those sorts of things. And so not all of the Ghostbusters, like not everything is a mystery to be solved kind of thing, but the majority of them have been like the majority of ghosts are unfinished business. So it's okay. How and like I'm a pastor. I've been a chaplain. Like how do I support you in finding a place of closure or like that sort of a thing is like my bread and butter. So I'm like, yeah, let's do that.
I
Yeah.
love it. I love it. You can become a pastor to the ghosts, just like Harvey was a psychologist to ghosts or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I love that notion of unfinished business as well. And like it was very clear and front and center in the Casper movie, but like all of the rest of them still had this kind of connection to some sort of central mystery or some sort of story that they want to get told beyond the grave, those kind of things. But then I guess weird for ghosts is that ghosts is all about life after death. There is not much. I was very surprised by this. There is very little discussion of the afterlife in most of these movies. Like the ghost just kind of exists in some sort of limbo on Earth after they died. Some of them will have like ghosts will go into some sort of bright light or something, like Casper or Ghost, or
Or the
get dragged to
Ghostbusters, they'll
the
just literally go to jail, like be imprisoned for the rest of
forever,
forever.
right? So it's like, but yeah, it's just weird to me that that wasn't more of a theme. I was kind of anticipating we'd get into some like good discussion about like afterlife and stuff, but
Yeah, the only one that really got into that, the one that the most got into that was Ghost, where there were the like little, I don't know, evil ghosties and good ghosties that like came and claimed the people.
yeah,
But
the
like,
evil ghosties and good ghosties.
I don't know, they're
Dragging them to
technically
the
not.
down their place, which
Yeah.
I remember you joking about. Rightly so.
Right, yeah. But yeah, like other than that, like Casper, they just like burst into light.
Even the evil Kerrigan just burst into light,
Right?
so.
Yeah. And she doesn't, she's like not excited about doing that, but she does.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to, there's gotta be other, I'm sure that there are other ones, other series or other thematic elements that'll bring us to those conversations
For sure, for
again.
sure. I'm thinking of so many right now off the top of my head, but like, and I know one that Kay has wanted us to cover for a while, or has, I don't know if she wants us to cover it, but she's suggested it a few times, is the What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams, a movie I hate, but she loves. And I think she also loves it because of the book, which I haven't read, so fairness that the book I'm sure is much better, so.
Yeah, I haven't read the book, but I've seen the movie because my best friend really likes it too. And that one I do think would be really ripe for conversation about afterlife and all of that stuff.
And about horror too. It's there's quite a bit of horror in there,
Yeah.
even though it wouldn't be categorized horror by the typical person. But as you know, in this podcast, we don't give a fuck about that. It's horror if we want it to be.
Indeed.
Any other ghost kind of theological themes that you want to hit on? They're kind of showing up again and again.
Those are the big ones that kept coming up. A lot of also what comes up for us is like, well, there's the sexism, or there's
Yes.
the racism, or
Yep.
that kind of a
Yep.
thing, but yeah.
Well, a question that we asked when we were watching Casper is Casper part of Ghostbusters canon? And I think we all decided yes, it was, including our guests for the episode, Emily and Garcia, decided that with us. And then we asked that question for the movie Ghost, which I think we determined is not Ghostbusters canon. But I'm curious if any of the other movies we've covered would work in Ghostbusters canon. So we started off with The Changeling.
We started off with Jesus Camp.
Well, yes.
That one I don't think would work.
Right?
Although you
Right?
could make a Ghostbusters that worked with Jesus Camp.
Ooh, for sure.
Like, you could make that kind of a movie, but Jesus Camp is not the actual one.
So, but then after Jesus Camp, we got to the Changeling. And I don't know. I think the Changeling tries to be grounded in real world enough that it's hard to say it could live in the Ghostbusters world, but I don't think there's anything that explicitly prevents it from li living in the Ghostbusters world.
Yeah. I mean, the tricky part is the Ghostbusters world largely has ghosts that, while some of the ghosts are like actual people who have died, the
Yeah.
like main characteristic of Ghostbusters is a combination of humans manipulating the like supernatural world and ghosts that aren't actually dead people.
As far as we can tell,
As far as we can
yeah,
tell, right?
like
Like there's
Slimer.
gods, there's Slimer, there's Muncher. And so the tricky part then becomes, are there any ghost movies where that's an actual feasible possibility?
Yeah.
And I think that there are, but I don't think we covered them on the main feed
Yeah.
this year, this season.
I feel like the Changeling, The Sixth Sense, and Devil's Backbone all have a similar enough concept of ghosts that those three movies could take place in the same universe. I don't think that they could take place in the Ghostbusters universe. And Candyman is such its own thing, I don't see that either. And then Ghost is this weird own thing with the weeping and gnashing of teeth and all that stuff going on there, so.
And then Casper is, and nope, we established. I think I argued persuasively enough that nope does fit within the season of ghosts. This is a tricky one though, because we have been interpreting the Angel Spectre alien as an alien.
Jean jacket, yeah.
Jean Jacket as an alien. But if we are asking, does it fit within the Ghostbusters universe, it could be argued that it is a ghost and then is not a ghost based on a dead animal, a dead human, and therefore could fit within the Ghostbusters universe.
I could see that. I could see that.
That's kind of where I'm landing on nope, is like, we've established that it's ghost, ghosty, haunty, and then depending on how we interpret Jean Jacket, because there's not necessarily evidence that like decisively claims Jean Jacket as an alien. We assume that, like we're led to assume that, but we don't actually have any evidence. There's nothing that is like left behind and analyzed and like that sort of a thing. I think that nope fits within Ghostbusters.
You heard it here first, folks. Out of all the movies we covered this season, Casper and Nope are the two that fit in Ghostbusters. I love
I
it.
also think like the which is the one that we watched, maybe Rose Red. Was Rose Red the one with the house?
Rose Red and the haunting, the house on Haunted Hill, but Rose Red, I think, is probably the one you're thinking of.
Yeah, with the like professor who's freaking out and gonna lose her job or whatever. Yeah. That one, I think there is a legitimate argument for it being feasible in the Ghostbusters universe as well. Because it's not like there are humans who have died who become ghosty, but at the heart of it's not about a human ghost. It is about this house and this place and like the hauntedness of the place, which I think maybe they allude to like the racist trope of Indian burial ground, but even that, like it is that place the entire time since before the house was even built. And so there is a haunting that is not human, because I'm just not gonna count an Indian burial ground as like it's just racist, so we're just gonna pretend like that line didn't happen, I guess, for my analytics. Yeah, so that one I would also put
I like it.
in the Ghostbusters.
I like it. Well, we've come to then our first ranking of our movies. So we're going to rank our non-Ghostbusters films first. And I know we just said Casper and Nope would count, but they're there are non-Ghostbusters films for the purpose of this. And how this works is we follow the style that Matt Gourley, I'm pretty sure, is the person who invented it, which he does on numerous of his podcasts, including James Bonding and stuff like that, where we basically just name the film in its placement, and until we both name it, we can't talk about why we placed it where it is. And then kind of helps create like an official podcast ranking by averaging out our two things. So, out of the eight films we covered that are not explicitly Ghostbusters, which one would you rate lowest?
I ranked Jesus Camp the lowest.
I also ranked Jesus Camp the lowest, so we can talk about it right off the bat. You gave, oh, I didn't get the ratings for this one, but I have the ratings for the rest. But so Jesus Camp, where would you, why would you say this is the lowest of the low for this season?
Okay. It's not that Jesus Camp is bad per se, right? Like it is real. It is real and it is haunty. The space that I think for me Jesus Camp encompasses is just like there's so much harm that Christianity actually and actively does. And I think for me, the space of Jesus Camp is like it's a particular and particularly creepy and traumatic thing in a way that like because it is effective, I rank it low. This is one of the few ones that we watched that I've like seen multiple times. And I remember in college, the first time I saw it, I watched it all the way through. The second time I saw it, I left in the middle of it because it just gets too, not too deep, but like it just is like too disturbing, I think, because it's real. And so that's I think where I went with ranking it low. What about you?
Kind of same for me. Like, it's a really well done documentary, and if you go back and listen to the episode, I go over how even Becky Fisher, the kind of the personality in charge of the Jesus Camp stuff, as much as she, basically says that the film is all true to like actual events and stuff. So it was like well done, beautifully made, and also pretty scary in the like everything Emily said. So that's why I rate it where I rate it. Same reasons, essentially.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I ranked it a 3 and you ranked it a 4, but then we also both ranked it 7. So I think the 3 and the 4 were like what we're talking about right now. And then 7 was it was actually like done well and like for what it was good. Yeah. So that's an interesting like
For sure, for sure.
interesting dynamic.
I guess. Well, I guess moving on to number 7, you would rank from worst to best, of course. What would
Yeah.
you put for number 7?
I put the changeling.
And I put the Sixth Sense. Interesting.
Okay.
Number 6 for you?
The Sixth Sense.
Ooh, now we can talk about it. So for the Sixth Sense, we both rated it a 7.
Ooh, I feel like we rated a lot of things around 7.
I know this season is a season of 7 and 8s.
Yeah, I think I need at least I think I needed I need next time like to start the rankings lower. I need to be more willing to rank things lower, I think, is part of what it is, because then it gives me like a wider range of actual comparative rankings. The sixth sense. This is the tricky thing, and I mentioned this like before we started, but like there's a nostalgia component to some of these movies that like wasn't there for Nightmare on Elm Street and wasn't there for Twilight, right? Where like I didn't have the nostalgia component because I hadn't seen the movies before. And these ones, like for Sixth Sense and Casper especially, I feel like they got bumped up one higher than they otherwise would have been because of
Sure.
nostalgia. Like I think that I have a nostalgia bump for
Yeah.
them.
I rated Sixth Sense the lowest out of all the movies aside from Jesus Camp because I remember as I watched it this recent time, I even said so on the episode, the film was just so gosh darn boring. Like, I was like, why is this movie so long? Nothing is happening and stuff. But that said, it still has one of the most amazing, iconic performances of Haley Joel Osment and Toni Collette, especially when they're in that car together, that I can't. It's so good. So,
Yeah, and that
still very good.
I think for me, Haley Joel Osment, like that was my first introduction, I think, to Haley Joel Osment, and I loved Haley Joel Osment in that movie. Like
Fair.
that carries it for me. That bumps it. And it was slower than I like remembered it in my memories. And also it yeah, I just really liked the acting, and I remember the way that it connected with me as a kid in a way that like a lot of
Yeah.
horror movies really didn't. Like there are a couple horror movies that I saw because we were watching them in groups and stuff, and this one, which like we've discovered is like an
Yeah.
Emily loves a mis loves solving mysteries and puzzles kind of thing. So
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. That's also something we talked about in the episode too, how having a young character can help with that. And I think of like Friday 13th Part 4 and stuff, but like when it's done and it done well, I think it can be exactly that. So yeah, Sixth Sense. I guess then for me, for number six would be Ghosts. Okay.
Gotcha. And then number five.
Number five for me is Casper.
Number five for me is Casper. I act surprised
Yay.
as I'm like staring at the chart that we filled out before we recorded.
Right. So you rated Casper an 8. I rated it a 6, which is one of the lowest rankings I gave this season.
Yeah. Casper is a nostalgia ranking again, right? Like Casper gets bumped up because of nostalgia, because I have such fond memories of like I just have like fond feelings for the movie from having seen it forever ago, and for some of the particular characters. Like I do have fond feelings for Casper, and I do have fond feelings for Christina Ricci's character, and I just like didn't catch as a kid all of the problematic stuff. So all of the problematic stuff is still there, but when I like think about how I feel about the movie, it gets bumped up because of the nostalgia.
Yeah, it's very problematic, and there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't make sense, so that's why I rated it low, for
Right,
me.
but like as a kid, I was
But
like, that didn't matter. It
yeah.
didn't matter until I watched it again as an adult, and then I was like,
So it's so fun and cute, but just not my favorite. Although I do love Kerrigan as a villain. I think she's my favorite villain of the season. So.
Ooh. Oh. I did not have time to think of a favorite villain for this movie, for this season, although that would have been fun. I do think in large part I probably could just like look at my favorite kills for each episode and just pick from that, but yeah.
So,
Yeah.
Casper, yeah.
Casper.
So now we're on to what, number four?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah,
I can't count,
number
but
four.
sure.
Number four. Fourth best movie.
Okay. I put Candyman for this. Nia DaCosta's
I put Devil's Backbone.
Interesting, interesting.
Yeah.
And now number three for me, I put the changeling, which means we can now talk
Ooh.
about it.
Okay.
Yay.
I think my ranking for the changeling honestly comes from it having been so long ago that we watched and recorded it comparatively, and the other movies that we also watched and recorded that long ago had I'd seen before. So it's easier to remember them. So I think that is
Yeah,
part of
fair.
it for me.
You did give the changeling an 8, and I gave it an 8 as well. But it's also very slow and pretty sexist, so I can see why you'd rank it pretty low. I still love it though. It's a classic ghost movie, and I still feel like some of the sexist parts and all that. And there's a few like leaps of logic, like when they just abandon the one subplot about the girl who was possibly murdered or who died, and it was just abandoned. They never talk about it again. But as far as like the hauntings go, the creepiness, the atmosphere is still just really good for me.
Yeah, those ones, it is really well done. I do like the creepings and the hauntings. The like inherent sexism and like just she just happens to die right outside her home or like
Yeah.
on like in as a pedestrian in traffic.
Yes.
If you're gonna put that in, then you have to have some explanation for it. It doesn't have to be that she becomes the ghost like everybody thinks she's going to be, but if she's not, then you have to explain.
Yeah. Also, there is the horseback riding styles which irked you, so I could see why that would make it rank lower for you as well.
It's true. It takes place in the West. It should not be.
English style or whatever it's
Yeah, there
called.
should not be English writing styles. Although it's fancy, hoity-toity people, so.
Okay, so
Whatever.
what would you rank number three then?
I ranked Ghost as number three.
Oh, sweet. Which means we can talk about it. So this was the first time you saw a ghost, which surprised me you're able to survive being a 90s kid without having seen it before.
It's amazing how many things I should have seen or heard that I did not.
Yeah.
I was a little bit off. So why did you rank? Because you ranked Ghost.
Pretty low.
Yeah.
I just don't like it. I
Okay.
just plain and simple. I love Whoopi Goldberg, and her performance is iconic. I love that there's some weird sapphic stuff that's hinted at, but like they don't go far enough to make up for the weirdness of it, and so it's almost played off for comedy, and I just don't like that. And I don't give a fuck about Patrick Swayze's character. Like nobody should die a horrific death or anything, but like
But also,
I'm supposed to feel bad for this capitalist who is like screwing people over and all this and can't even say I love you to his girlfriend. Like, fuck that. So that's why I rated it low. I gave it a 7, so I'm surprised I ranked it that high. But you gave it an 8.
I loved Whoopi Goldberg. I like she's fantastic, and I loved the. I agree that they could have made it more sapphic or more explicitly sapphic. It was definitely sapphic. They could have made it more explicitly sapphic, and that I think will always like is an important critique. But like it was just like Whoopi Goldberg is just so good, and then like having the sapphic subplot, even if it should have been better and could have been better done, and I didn't think of it as much as a joke. Like I think if I had interpreted the sapphic subplot more as a joke, I probably would have ranked it lower. But because for me, it didn't feel like there were a lot of jokes in it. But that particular plot, because it, I think because it was so, like, I don't think the people who made the movie even knew that they were doing a sapphic subplot,
Yeah,
right?
I mean, except with the exception of that one scene where they're like act Patrick Swayze's character is possessing her, and that's the scene that I think the film, the people behind the film knew it would come across humorous and wanted to lean into that humor for
Maybe,
that.
but they don't. If that were true, then they should have, in the zoomed out version, had Whoopi Goldberg, not Patrick Swayze. That's the place where
Agreed.
I'm like, I don't know that they even knew. Like, I think somebody was queer and didn't know it yet, right? And so it like
Well,
just gets
in the
put
behind
in.
the scenes, we talked about how they even wanted to have a sex scene between the two, but then they decided to take that out, if you remember. So, I mean, I think they knew. I think it was just a matter of, for that scene specifically, the sapphic subplot that feeds into the rest of the movie, I 100% agree they had no clue. And I love that because then it makes it overall a very sapphic movie in ways that they did not anticipate. But yeah.
But yeah, so that's where like my not interpreting it as a joke makes it easier to rank it higher. And
Fair,
again, like
fair.
Patrick Swayze, whatever. There's racism in it. Like, I think basically all of the movies, I assume there's going to be something problematic in them. Unless they're like in the 2020s, and even then.
I don't know. I also find it hard to get past that whole like weird dualistic afterlife thing they have going on, where it's like you get sent to the down there place, but also you get sent to the more heavenly place if you're good. Even if you led to the murder of two people, you're the main character, you're white, you gotta go to heaven. Cool.
Yeah, I do think, I mean, I think that's problematic, but it's also like so pop culture assumptions, right? Like
True.
the number of people
True.
that is the assumption that they have of how the world and afterworld work. I'm
True,
like,
true,
yeah,
true.
I can't hold that against it so much.
Oh, I can, but it's okay. Well, number two then, for me, I guess. Devil's Backbone, which means we can talk about it.
Which like I mean I ranked it lower than you, but not that much lower. Like it's Devil's Backbone still ranks for me in the, I mean I don't think I really hated any of the movies, but like it definitely ranks in the these this was a good movie, decided like unequivocally this is a good movie for me, because like there's like the kind of twist ending, but not like a twist ending just for the sake of a twist ending. And it was in Spanish, and I love movies in Spanish.
You gave an 8.5 and I gave it a 9, and I think part of the ranking difference here, because I love this movie. I think it is so well done. It's gorgeous. The plot, I love the mystery aspect of it, and just Guillermo del Toro is a fantastic director of himself. But I think part of the reason, my guess, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is I feel like your rankings tend to be very influenced by the episode conversation we have. And for this episode, a little bit behind the scenes spoilers is we had to push back the recording a few times. So the guest and myself did not rewatch the movie. And so it had been long enough that, like, I feel like that affected the quality of conversation. So Emily was the only one who had watched it recently. So I wonder if that's part of it for you. But it
I
is
think,
such a good
yeah.
movie.
I think it's entirely possible that that was part of it. Because I do, like, I do not rank movies until we get to that point in the episode. Because it does, as you said, like, it matters. The conversations we have in the episode impact my rankings. And as I said, I think I said it on, like, maybe a BooTube or something. I will, and this is for, like, for anybody on Letterboxd who is a fan of the podcast, like if you follow me on Pet, you get a sneak peek at my rankings because I will put the rankings in, or I'll put the ratings in after we record the episode, so it's before the episode actually comes out. You won't get any of the like conversation and explanation of why I rank it usually, but because my reviews are quite unique. But yeah, so it's, I do think that that impacted it, because it was a lot, that episode had a lot of really good conversation about Guillermo del Toro, which is great, but I don't know him as a director as much, and so
Yeah.
I had stuff to say about Devil's Backbone and not so much about the director, and you two had more to say about the director and less about Devil's
know.
Backbone.
It's like, because we haven't seen that. That is one of those. But Nope, again, I guess I also didn't watch recently before recording, but thankfully you and our guest did, so you were able to help cover
Yeah.
that. Just some of the behind the scenes drama that most of you who listen to the podcast wouldn't even think. Probably wouldn't even think goes into it, but it really does affect the episode if we haven't seen the movie as recently as we would have liked. So that's something I tried to do, but not always.
Yeah, and
Life gets in the way.
that's why it was important to me and I think it would have been less important if it were Casper or something. Right, this is part of, I think, Changeling and how I ranked Changeling, that if I am really familiar with the movies, it's okay if there's a little bit more time or if it gets pushed back. But if I haven't seen the movies before, it's really hard for me to watch it and then have the recording get pushed back, and because I'll just lose it because we'll watch
Yeah.
other movies in the meantime and all of that stuff.
I typically will watch, so just for listeners at home, if you're curious, I typically watch a movie, Emily and I will typically watch a movie together so we can kind of like get live reactions how the other is feeling. And then the morning of recording, I typically will watch it again, and that's when I like take my detailed notes so I can like watch one just to watch and enjoy and see how it feels as I'm watching it, and then the other is more detailed. And but the problem is for both Nope and for Devil's Backbone is it was canceled, it was pushed back the day of recording. So then it's like, do I watch it a third time? So that
Yeah.
was part of it for me.
And I usually just watch it that one time. But then for both Devil's Backbone and Nope, because there had been time between, I was like, okay, I need to watch it again, and I knew I needed to watch it again. And I like, and they're good movies, right? If it were a terrible movie, if it were Jesus Camp, I might not have watched it. I might have, but they were good movies, and so I wanted to watch it again. And I hadn't seen it before, and so watching it a second time is a different thing than watching it a third time within whatever time frame.
To be fair, though, for the Twilight movies, I watched the first one twice, but after that, I could not get. Getting through it once was bad enough. So if you go back to season three, I was not listening to, I was not watching those two times.
Which, that's fine. It's Twilight. That's totally fine.
Well, we're now up to you for number two.
Yeah, so I ranked Candyman as number two.
Candyman. No, I'm not gonna do it. which you gave it 8 to 8.5, and I gave it an 8. Why do you put this one so high for you?
No, you have to go first with why do you put it so low?
For me?
This is the pattern that has been established in my head, is
Okay.
whoever ranked it lower goes
Fair.
first.
That
I don't
that's
know
fair, that's
why.
fair.
I made it up, but
So, Jesus Camp, Sixth Sense, Ghost, and Casper are all kind of like middle of the road movies for me. When it gets to Candyman, Changeling, Devil's Backbone, and Nope, think of all those as near masterpieces of film. Candyman just happens to be the lowest of those, and mostly because the reasons I say in the episode, it is kind of incoherent, and it really, I feel like, suffered from being only 90 minutes. It should have been a good 2 or 2.5 hour movie. And so, because of that, it just the direction is fantastic, the story is fantastic, all that, but it just becomes a little incoherent and jumbled, and it's hard to really follow some of what's happening, especially towards the end, and when it switches from main character of following the dude to following his girlfriend or whatever, like that just becomes confusing and stuff. So that's why. But what about you?
I think I agree. I mean, I agree with you for the near masterpiece. I think also part of Candyman for me is comparing it to the original. And so there are so many ways that it is better than the original. Which we watched as movie commentary right before we watched the movie for the episode. And so I think for me, that space of like Candyman as an improvement impacts, positively impacts how I'm ranking it. I agree, as I said, I think in the episode, I agree with you on the incoherence and it could have been longer. And realistically, like part of what we talked about for Candyman was like redoing it as, as a longer, as a movie from her perspective the entire time.
Yeah.
Because I think that, and it's tricky because the original also was from the person that kind of becomes Candyman-ish, their perspective. And so the gaps are a little bit different. But for the 2021 Candyman, the gaps, like, it is clear that he is not the one, like, they make it clear that he's not the one killing people. Like, there's literally, like, we have a scene where it is obviously, like, he has just left and some supernatural force is killing the reporter. And so you lose a little bit of the suspense that you got with, like, I think it was Helen in the original.
Yeah.
And having it be all from the girlfriend's perspective in the 2021 would have kept that suspense because she really has no fucking clue what is going on.
Yeah.
And so I just think that would have been really interesting. And then also, like, yeah, but I liked the way it played with the role of cops and racism, and like I liked what it did with that. And I think particularly coming out in 2021, like, that was so is such an important perspective and an important way of looking at Candyman and Cabrini Green and Chicago in general and policing in general.
Yeah.
And I loved that she called Candyman on the cops.
Yep.
Because that, like, that, if nothing else, that in and of itself, I'm like, chef's kiss right there.
Agreed. That was, like, seeing that in the theaters for the first time, I was like, holy shit, I love that
movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although, I guess we can get to our number one movie. We can even say it at the same time, because, spoilers, it's the same one for both of us.
One, two, three, nope.
Nope. You rated this a 9.5, and I rated this either a 9 or a 10, somewhere in the middle. So I guess 9.5 too.
I was like, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I love this movie. It's so good. Jordan Peele won the best director from the Chainsaw Awards for this movie, which he absolutely deserved. Mm-hmm. Kiki Palmer, I adore her performance in this as the queer sister sidekick. I just love it. It's just such a good movie. I can't say enough about how much of a enjoyable movie this is. Just so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved Nope. So Nope is one of the ones, as we said before, that we... I'm just going to go, and I'm sorry if there's background noise.
It's fine.
So the Nope is one that we watched in January, and then I had a family emergency, and so we rescheduled it for this season. Not necessarily intentionally, like, matching it up with the Ghost season, but just saying, like, we really want to cover this, and we couldn't in this time period, so we will have it be part of the next one. Or a bonus. Like, if we hadn't have watched it, it would have been a bonus. And I remember watching it and just being like, yup. Like, it's just so well done. And that's, like, Nope is where I was like, Jordan Peele. Anything Jordan Peele is involved with, I will watch. Like, he just does such a good job. He just does such a good job of taking horror as a genre and really, really being in the moment with it, and in like in the space of like contemporary things that are horrific and getting at stuff that like we don't talk about, right? Like part of Candyman is like we don't talk enough about historic racism and the like long-lasting impact of racist housing policies. But that's like the haunting of Cabrini Green with the Candyman is racist policing and the legacy of racist policing and how it continues to play out, even decades later. I'm
It's just circling your house nonstop.
It is. I just want to be like, look, if you're not looking for me, because it's one thing when it's like coming to the hospital. This is not coming to the hospital. And Nope, I think gets at like pushes towards spectacle in a way that reminds me of conversations that we had in college around like freak shows, right? And like the spectacle and minstrelsy and like how we as a culture commodify people and dehumanize people and like commodify animals and like treat them as less than. And then like how all of that intersects with trauma and with survival and like and supernatural and it's supernatural and it's like all of those things just like work together so well. And to have, as you said, right, like a queer character where it's she's queer, right? To have a majority POC BIPOC, particularly, well, POC, especially black, cast, and it's not fake, it's not artificial, right? Like this is not like Tim Burton getting like decried because he's like, oh, black people don't fit in the thing, and then like you put a couple token black people in. This is the story from the start.
And that's kind of been, not to minimize Jordan Peele because he is a masterful director, and one of the best, but that's kind of been one of the things we talked about. If we go back to our Black Eyed Eyes first episode, like black horror in its origins has always kind of had that, like, using horror to talk about the now. So like one of these days we'll have to cover like Blackula and some of the 70s black exploitation movies, because they are also very good in those ways. But anyway, I agree with everything you said about Nope and about Jordan Peele's direction. It's a gorgeous film, like as far as like cinematically it's gorgeous. I just love that it's kind of like a western slash sci-fi slash horror movie all rolled into one.
And I love the Western, and it's Western, and you know how they ride horses?
Western style?
Yes, the right way.
Yay.
And I don't think Western is like the right way and English is the wrong way, but like for where they are and what they're doing, it is the appropriate way.
Perfect. Perfect. So,
Yeah.
yeah. Great movie. Not at all surprised that both of us ranked it number one. Okay. So now, before we get into ranking the Ghostbusters movies, I wanted to just quick cover some of the ghost lore. I copy and pasted from all the documents, but we don't need to go into this much detail because this episode would go on forever. But just some of the big pieces of ghost lore that we've noticed from this season. I'd like to start off by saying a question that Emily asked back in our Sixth Sense episode that I love. Is it ghosts or is it ADHD? Still loving that. And all the ghost movies we see with that in my mind, like, could this actually just be them, like, ADHD walking to another room and forgetting that they opened all the cupboards and stuff? So.
Or could there be a ghost trying to haunt someone with ADHD and the ADHD person is just like, I always leave stuff open.
Most of the ghost movies, as we talked about, had a spirit of a dead human with unfinished business. So it's kind of this, like, either solve this mystery or do justice on my behalf or something like that from beyond the grave.
Yeah, unfinished business was, yeah, we already talked about that, but also some of the tropes, right, that we get of, we've mentioned a few, but like the seance trope, which actually didn't come up as much. Yeah. Because I think it's
main feed. It did a little bit more in our movie commentaries.
And our movie commentaries were a little bit older. So I think like the seance trope has kind of gone out of fashion in a way. Because I remember it most clearly with the Changeling. The haunted house trope has, you know, stuck with it for all of them, basically. Not all of them, but like the majority.
Yeah. Even like Candyman, it's not necessarily a haunted house, but it's a haunted apartment complex, Company Green. So, yeah.
The sense ghost of time.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
That's, so, Ghostbusters is always told from, like, the human's point of view, but the other movies that we've been watching have had more of a ghost perspective, and there's almost an Inception-y quality to it. Particularly I'm thinking of The Sixth Sense, where like he just like he just is in this place and we don't actually know how he got there, and then it also raises the question of, does he know how he got there? Does he know? And so like that space of like, how do they interact with time? How do they experience time? Does it go faster? Does it slow down when they're interacting with humans?
I also really like the a bit, some ghosts, like just the differing power levels of ghosts. Some ghosts have this tremendous power, like we see in Casper, where they can like just materialize things out of thin air and stuff. They can travel all around the world. Others can't even open a door, or they need to have poor emotional regulation to open a door if we look at the ghost movie. So all that stuff. The change in appearance for ghosts is another interesting thing. In Ghostbusters and Casper, for instance, the ghosts take on a very different look than their human, like it's a very exaggerated caricature kind of thing. Whereas in most of the ghost movies, the ghost just basically looks like their human form, either their human form when they died, like in Devil's Backbone with the blood kind of floating up, or like in Sixth Sense and Ghost with Patrick Swayze, it's just like their human form as they imagine themselves, I guess. So
yeah, but then you also get like Casper,
so,
who has no feet,
and only four fingers
and no clothes. Except for Kerrigan does.
This is who can interact with ghosts is interesting. In some of the movies, anybody can see a ghost, like Devil's Backbone, Casper, stuff like that, Ghostbusters. But in some of the other movies, only specific people can interact with the ghosts, such as Ghost, where Whoopi Goldberg's character can see them in ways that others can't.
And kids, right? Like, that kids are more susceptible to...
And pets, too.
And pets interacting with ghosts and... And the ghosts can interact also with the material world, but depending, like, there is some, like, Patrick Swayze has to learn how to do it. And it's a different way than, like, as a human.
Then to get into some of the Ghostbusters lore specifically, one of the big differences, well, two of the big differences, so I'll say right off the bat, number one, is what we already talked about the not all the ghosts appear to have been human. They could just be, like, spirits of some sort. Like Slimer and Munch and all that. And then also, the Ghostbusters franchise has a huge amount of ectoplasm as part of the plot, which really none of the other ghost movies we covered had this season that I'm aware of. Like, thinking back, I can't think of any of the ones that we covered. Like, it used to be a thing in ghost movies, like, way back when, but that's another thing that's kind of fallen out of favor.
Yeah. Well, and that's, like... Yeah, the Ghostbusters and the ectoplasm. And this is jumping back a little bit because I forgot to say this, but like my favorite description of what ghosts are made of, rather than like the ectoplasm one, is Casper's, that tingly feeling when your foot falls asleep.
Agreed. That sucks.
Which, like,
Sounded horrible.
my foot fell asleep last night. So, like, very familiar with that feeling. But I love it because there's like this tingly feeling, but also it can get painful. But it also doesn't have to be painful. And
Yeah.
so, yeah, that I thought was an interesting, like, thing. And then the Ghostbusters when it's like
What?
these random weird things that hold the ghosts in, and how do they hold them in? And so, like, then that becomes part of, like, the if the electromagnetic stuff is what holds them in, then they're also like somehow composed of something electromagnetic.
Yeah. So, something we spared you all from this season, but we easily could have gotten into, is the homoousius discussion of what is the substance of the Trinity. So we could have talked about that with ghosts, but we did not. But we probably will get into homoousius stuff at some point.
That's
But for those of you who
fantastic.
don't know,
Yeah.
homoousius is just this big fancy Greek word to describe the nature of the Trinity being made of the same substance. So homo means same, ousius substance, like ooze. So same substance.
Same ectoplasm, you know.
Yep. All three members of the Trinity are made of ectoplasm, the same ectoplasm. Yeah.
I also really
Any.
like the non-human ghosts in the Ghostbusters realms. Like,
Right?
the demon god Zool thing is, you know, racist and meh. Not my favorite thing, except to the extent that the god is non-binary. But, like, Slimer, who then, like, becomes basically a pet in the real Ghostbusters
Yeah.
cartoons. And Muncher, who likely will come back in the fifth movie when it comes out.
This year, in fact.
Yeah, the Stay Puffed Man and the Mini Stay Puffed Men, who,
So
like,
cute.
who knew that marshmallows when they were possessed became Stay Puffed Men?
And so cute, and so cute. Destructive, but cute. Kind of like my dog.
Kind of like Sour
Yeah.
Patch Kids.
Yes.
In
They're
the right
sour,
commercial
then they're
things.
sweet.
Yep. They except the reverse. They're sweet and then they're sour and try to destroy
Yep.
you.
Yeah. So,
Ooh.
before we get into ranking the Ghostbusters films, just to shout out. Oh, go ahead,
I just
please.
wanted to say one more thing in the ghost
Yeah.
lore from Ghostbusters. The ley lines. So that's, I think we talked about that as being like
Yeah.
totally made up and weird. But
It
I.
only appears in the 2016 Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Although it kind of gets connected in the 20, in the like fourth one, doesn't it? Like, not the ley lines per se, but the like building that they use and.
Yeah, it's something about like how it's in this space that kind of is a
Yeah.
gray area between the spiritual world and
Yeah. And I think
the
like
afterworld.
that is, I think it's interesting to me, and I'm sure that this will come back around at some point, but like that space of places that are thin space. So, like, I think it's Irish Gaelic concept of thin space, the where the separation between the natural and the supernatural, the like mortal and the
Yeah.
beyond mortal realms are it is really thin. And we talk about that a lot, particularly around like Halloween and All Saints Day, Dia de Muertos, that sort of thing. But also I think like there are places that are like that, right? And so we get that the ley lines become that in Brave, the cartoon, right? Like that space with the rocks, with the stones, like
Oh,
that
yeah.
presumably is like Stonehenge, is that space as well where the wisps are present. And so I do think that that's an interesting space to occupy, right? But to like acknowledge that, and Candyman does this, right? That there are, and it I guess it kind of goes with the like just haunted house type of thing, but it's less specific to a house and more specific to the land. into the place, and like rose red, and yeah. So I think that is an interesting place that overlaps between Ghostbusters and like rose red and stuff, which is why I decided that they counted in the Ghostbuster canon.
Perfect. And just to recap, ley lines, while it's talked about in 2016, the actual term ley line is something that was made up in the early 1900s as a way to describe how Earth energies are apparently stronger among ley lines, and it allows UFOs to land. So it's kind of like a whole different area of like supernatural belief, belief in UFOs, and yet Ghostbusters turned into belief in ghosts, which I think is a cool way to do it. But that's what those are about. So, okay, other Ghostbusters entries. We covered the real Ghostbusters as a Ubuntu, three episodes from that. So check that out on Patreon. It's only $5 to get access to that. So you can hear us go on about poor Janine. Really, I feel like the takeaway from real Ghostbusters that Emily and I had is that Janine needs more justice in her life. But you could have gotten from the movies too.
Yeah, all of them. Janine just gets the short end of the stick, as they say.
Yep, and there's also these weird kid sidekicks in one of the episodes, so that was interesting.
Yeah, I totally thought that they were like the kids of the Ghostbusters.
And then there's the video game, which I've talked about before, came out in the early 2000s, and it was for a long time considered the third sequel in the Ghostbusters, or the second sequel, the third entry in the Ghostbusters canon, until Ghostbusters Afterlife took that away. But it basically follows Ghostbusters in the 90s. You're a new member recruited to join the team, you as a player, and then follow along as they deal with the return. It's always the return of Gozer and Zool and all them.
It's almost like they had no like creative space for new stuff until 2016.
And then so check that out. Whether or not it's canon, who knows anymore, but there's some hints that maybe it will still be considered canon when Ghostbusters fifth entry comes out later this year. One of the cool things about it is Winston Zeddemore is a doctor, guy's doctorate in that video game, and apparently he's going to be Dr. Winston in Ghostbusters 5, so we'll see if that happens.
Yeah.
And then the last... There's
Which, been like, it's whole, about time.
Right. And then the last kind of non-movie version of Ghostbusters I want to quick talk about is there's a whole bunch of Ghostbusters comics, but one in particular that I encourage everyone to read if you're interested in Ghostbusters stuff is Ghostbusters Crossing Over. It is a mini series published by IDW, and it features the original Ghostbusters team, the 2016 Ghostbusters team, the real Ghostbusters team, kind of as their multiverse collapse and they have to team up and fight this kind of thing. So similar to like Doctor Strange and Multiverse Madness kind of deal, except with the Ghostbusters. So check that out. It's fun that they brought the women Ghostbusters back for that, and hopefully, as we've talked about, they'll find a way to reference or nod to them in future Ghostbuster films.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, particularly poignant given our ranking of the films.
Yes. So, getting into our ranking, there are four Ghostbusters films, so which one would you rate the worst, Emily?
The first, 1984.
Okay. I rank the original as the worst as well. Let's get into it.
Yeah. Venkman. Done. Like, he is such an asshole.
Such a gross creep.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. Like, when we talk about my number two rating, I guess I can talk about why that was ranked higher. Because, yeah, for reasons. But, yeah, it just, Venkman brings it down. The special effects also didn't age well. And part of that is because we talked they about the rush in behind the scenes of the production and stuff. So, like, just
that part, I'm like less like, okay, there's like extenuating circumstances.
But yeah, it's still an iconic movie. I love so much of it. It's just Venkman.
Yeah.
And Egon, like, all of them are kind of gross, but especially Venkman and Egon in that. And also, Winston and Janine need more screen time and deserve better.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Okay, next. Oh, I guess I should say what we've rated them. You rated it a 7, I rated it an 8.
Okay.
So this is one of the ones where you said that you wish you had started lower.
Yeah. I think I wish I had started lower, because that would have impacted. That would have given me more space.
Next, then, for you would be...
Next for me is the second Ghostbusters movie from 1989.
Same for me, so you can talk about Ghostbusters 2, 1989. Now, the reason I said that I wanted to wait to talk about it a little bit more till I got to this ranking is because I think most fans of the franchise would rate Ghostbusters 2 as the lowest.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of those rare examples of nostalgia completely ruins the ranking for pace. And I just love this one in ways, like, I love the art museum aspects of it. Mm-hmm. I watched it as a kid, so, like, and went to New York shortly after watching it, and the Statue of Liberty. So it's like, I can't separate it from that.
Yeah.
But also, the assholishness of Venkman and Egon are still there, but it's been toned down.
Yeah, so right, like, Venkman got broken better. Up with.
Yeah, so that makes the movie better, and also Winston has a bigger role, and, you know, I stand Winston, and he deserves justice, so all that.
Yeah, I think a lot of my reasons are the same, and it's not necessarily nostalgia for me in terms of the movie, but, like, I also have been to New York, so I know that, but I like museums, and, like, there actually is a little bit of a, like, National Treasure.
Mm-hmm.
National Treasure Night at the Museum kind of a thing that connects with me a little bit. But largely it is Venkman has been brought down a peg or two. And I do like New York, and there's a different way that they engage with stuff. It still is, like, not making total sense, right? Like, that they go from, like, music makes it excitable to playing this music makes me be able to control it like a video game character.
Right? With the joystick and everything.
Yeah. So that stuff is just like, and, like, Ghostbusters is not known for its, like, internal consistency. But, those are kind of, like, my reasonings around rating what I did.
Fair. And we both rated that one a 7.
Okay.
Number 2 for you, the second best Ghostbusters.
The 2022 Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Sweet. Same for me. Lo and behold, we rank these exactly the same. Interesting.
This is my surprise face.
You gave that an 8 to 8.5. I gave it a 7 to 7.5.
Tell me why.
Okay, Backstreet Boys. this movie would have been the highest rated one for me if it were not for the gross Egon subplot. That in and of itself drives this movie down for me, because it is this whole notion of you can be a complete asshole father and then come back as a ghost and save the day, and suddenly all that's supposed to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no. I think I even said when I first saw it in theaters, like, I would have rated it significantly lower because I hated that so much. But as I watched it more and more, other things, like, from the movie stand out to me, and I like it more and stuff. So, like, the character of Phoebe and stuff, just love. But, like, and Paul Rudd's performance and podcast, like, all of it. There's so much good in that movie that I just love. But I just can't get past Egon Spengler being the asshole dad, and then he gets this huge, like, triumphant redemption at the end, which is completely undeserved.
And we had, like, a really good conversation about that, and about the dynamics of, like, redemption arcs and, like, what is the priority, and, like for Egon, did he have to be an asshole dad in order to save everyone? Not clear. And I think, yeah, so that part obviously takes it down. It's not as bad as the first two Ghostbusters, but leaves room to be desired. I did really like it's I was surprised that I liked it as much as I did, and that for me is a thing. Like, I would actually watch that again potentially, in a way that, like, I have no need or desire to watch the first two again. And I liked, like, the kids in it. I liked some of the interactions with the, like, the, you're my one subscriber with Podcast yep. and Ray. So I like that. I like the new characters that are being introduced. Again, the, like, the ghost and the big bad is the same.
Yes.
Again and again and again.
It's basically just a retread of the... It's a requel. If we ever watch the Scream franchise, we'll learn what that term is. It's a requel when they basically make a sequel that is essentially the same. After a gap of so many years, and they basically make a sequel that's the exact same as the original. So requel is the term for that from the Scream universe.
Yeah. So it like those sorts of things. So there was a lot that was really cute. I would watch it again.
It is...
And
the most diverse cast for the Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. which I really like. And I like that the...
Which is also, like, not saying much.
Right, exactly. But it's also, like, I like that the black character in Ghostbusters Afterlife, it was the love interest of Phoebe's brother. I'm forgetting all the names, but that character was kind of... was the black character, but she didn't get relegated to, like, the street smart, wisecracking one, like, basically Winston and Patty were in the other ones, and I really like that, because that's my biggest thing that annoys me to no end with Ghostbusters 2016, but,
the ways that 2016, well, we'll get into that more, but I appreciated that it was not just, like, the wisecracking sidekicks, the uneducated sidekicks that were the people of color cast, that people of color were actors for. Agree. Hard agree on that one.
Well, I guess that brings us to our favorite, which, again, we can count down and say at the same time.
1, 2, 3. Ghostbusters 2022. That's what I meant. 2016. I was reading the, like, thing at the end on the side.
Ghostbusters 2016, also known as Ghostbusters Answer the Call.
Yeah. I'm on top of things. I did finish my coffee, I promise.
I will quick say, this to me is the funniest Ghostbusters hand down. Mm-hmm. Hands down. And I love that I love all the actors in it. They're so hilarious and so smart.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I would have ranked Afterlife a little bit higher had it not been for the Egon thing is just because the Ghostbusters Answer the Call movie is so, like, beyond the realm of believability, which is fine. That works for the universe and it's internally consistent. But, like, me personally, if I'm watching a Ghostbusters, I liked it a little bit more grounded in reality.
Mm.
And also this shit with Patty really annoys me. And just the backlash against the whole movie, but especially Leslie Jones, the actress, mm-hmm. Leslie Jones and stuff. And the misogynoir that went to that is just awful and stuff. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, still, best Ghostbusters, you heard it here, from Pace. What about you, Emmy?
I also rank it the best Ghostbusters and did before I saw any of the other ones. I don't think it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I do think it is still the best. I think it's hilarious. There's, like, things that are done with comedy, and particularly women in comedy, that had never been done up until that point. Like, literally, they had never shown a woman eating not sexily. Like, and then Kate McKinnon is just, like, chowing down on Pringles. And it was the first of what became many gender swap-y movies. And because of that, when we talked about this in the show, that because of that, it got more pushback and backlash because it was the first, because it was paving the way for others, and because the studio didn't back it up, right? Mm-hmm. The pushback from white men, white cis men, became an excuse to not do the marketing that would have made it have a higher reception and all of that stuff. And I think part of that was they were trying to be faithful to the initial movies in their gender swap in a way that then was also problematic and racist, right? Where Leslie Jones becomes Winston's swap. And so you get, again, a black character who's very knowledgeable and street smart and not educated and the side of the side characters. And then add in, as you said, the, like, misogynoir from the original fans and from, like, everybody. Yeah. And even the, like, swapping Kevin and Janine. Because I didn't know the other Ghostbusters, I just assumed that Janine was a complete bimbo. Yeah. Because they played Kevin as such a himbo.
Yeah. I feel like that was just not even, like, a swapped character. I feel like that was just taking it in its own way, which is fine. But then, of course, that leads to, if you haven't seen it, your assumptions about Janine.
Yeah, and I think there's, like, there's a part that, like, is almost as saying the quiet part out loud, that, like, white men can be completely incompetent and still have their fail job. Up. Yeah.
Yep.
And that part for me was like,
yeah.
And that's why, like, having it be a gender swap and having Janine have been, like, also that incompetent would have almost been better for the 2016 version, because then, like, at least it's not the white guy fails up. Mm-hmm. It's, they just have this bimbo character. But, yeah, that's not how it worked, because Janine's not, except for in a couple episodes of the real Ghostbusters cartoon, which are weird and, I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, but, like, this is the only one I own on DVD, and we watched the extended version, which was my first time watching the extended version, which also had some, like, extra and cool stuff in it.
Yep. I'm glad Ghostbusters. I do not believe in the zero-sum game of you can only have one Ghostbusters universe running at once. I don't know why they can't make a follow-up to the Ghostbusters 2016 movie and still keep making their Ghostbusters Afterlife sequel. Like, you don't need to choose one or the other. You can have both. Because I would so go and see that. Or have, like, a crossover. Like, we get that with the damn Spider-Man movie, where it's a crossover with all the past Spider-Mans. Give it to us with Ghostbusters. I'd love, like, a multiverse evil entity, and then the different Ghostbuster universes have to team up or something.
And it would work really well for Ghostbusters. Like, they're already in the realm of suspending disbelief and, like, time and difference and stuff. And, like, I think partly probably why they're not doing it now is I think it would cost them a lot more to hire those same actresses than it did for the original. And since they broke the contract, like, they don't automatically get to have them at that same rate.
Yeah.
I think that's the actual reason why. Because I do think if they did another one, it would hit very differently now, and it would be really popular to the extent that any in theater movies are popular anymore because pandemic. But I think it would have a much much, like, more popular reception.
All those things. Well, there you have it, our Ghostbusters rankings.
Ta-da.
Jump scares, you had, like, one. At most, I think, like, Sixth Sense, you had one. You had, like, a half here and there.
Yeah, I didn't have
but very many. But the jump scariest movie for Emily was on Patreon.
Was
as we watched the movie commentary of the original 1992 Candyman. Emily jumped, I'm pretty sure, five times. I don't think we're
I
counting
think it
since
was
it was a
four and a
movie con.
half. The number in my head is four and a half. Yeah, that was the jump scariest. And it's audible because it's a movie commentary. You can jump along with me. And I frequently make other people jump because of my jump scares. And like Pace was like, "Whoa, I heard that one." I was like,
Yeah,
"Yep,
it's very audible gasping.
that's what I do."
Yep.
So definitely, if you aren't already, become a Patreon supporter because that's apparently where all the jump scares happen.
At least for the season,
Yeah.
yeah. And I
Indeed.
think Rose Red got a jump or two too,
Yeah, it was
which we covered on BooTube. It was
we
on
did
movie
BooTube,
commentary, but.
but I there was another movie commentary though, I think, that also got jump scared, maybe. I don't
Yeah.
know. Yeah, but worth
Beetle, yeah. So, for those of you listening at home, we've covered our movie commentaries this year. For the season, were Beetlejuice, Sleepy Hollow, the Tim Burton one, and those y'all voted for. So, if you have thoughts about why we did two Tim Burton ones, blame that on y'all. Because neither Emily nor I were happy about it either. But and then we did House on Haunted Hill. The 1950s original one with Vincent Price. We did Candyman 1992. And those were our movie commentaries season, I'm pretty
Yeah.
sure.
And we did Rose Red, The Real Ghostbusters. Oh, we did Foundation,
We did
which was maybe
Foundation,
before, technically before.
yeah.
I feel like I'm missing one of the boutiques. We did
Yeah,
Kindred and Foundation
we
this
did Kindred,
year.
yeah. Kindred was our April BooTube, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then Rosewood was May.
And then Real
So,
Ghostbusters
yeah.
was June, yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
Which still hasn't been uploaded. Sorry, y'all. It'll be uploaded soon. By the time this episode comes out, I'm sure it'll be uploaded. The real Ghostbusters. Anyway.
I hope so,
So.
because I mentioned stuff about it.
Yeah, so there you have it. That's our Season
Ta-da!
five,
I
Ghosts.
know.
Season six, then, we've already made a big deal about, but if you're just finding out for the first time, we are covering Star Wars and Alien, both of those franchises. It'll come out September 7th. So we're taking a break for July and August, a well-deserved break, I think.
Decidedly.
Yeah, and so, but come back September 7th. We're going to be watching the nine Skywalker Star Wars films on the main feed and the entirety of the Alien franchise, including the Alien versus Predators films on the main feed. And then for Patreon supporters, you will get access to the Star Wars TV shows, the other Star Wars movies like Rogue One, Solo, stuff like that. And you'll also get access to movie commentaries on the Predator series. So, a lot of cool stuff coming
Yeah.
out on Patreon.
And if you are on our $10 tier, we're actually planning on doing an entire marathon of Pace and
The
I are going
Predator
to
movies.
marathon the Predator movies. And so if you are on our $10 a month or more tier, you can potentially get in on marathoning that with us. That'll happen
Yeah. End of
end of
August.
August. So just so you have, like, if you want to get in on that. But even if you are not available at that time, you'll still get the movie commentaries, which will come out monthly throughout the season.
Really excited for this franchise. Emily has seen all the Star Wars movies. About half of the Star Wars shows we're covering, I'm pretty sure. Maybe a little bit more than half.
Yeah, about half of them I've seen.
You have not seen Alien
Nope.
or any of those
Nope.
movies. You have not seen Predator or any of those
Nope.
movies.
Yeah, so it'll
So.
it I I'm excited because it's a good mix of which I guess this season was also a surprisingly balanced mix of movies I'd seen and not seen, which I didn't expect it to be quite as balanced as it was. But the Star Wars stuff will be quite balanced in that.
And since we are horror nerds at church, and you're just tuning in for the first time and don't know or don't follow our belief that anything can be horror, the There are definitely horrific elements in Star Wars we'll get to, but Alien is a decidedly horror sci-fi franchise, so we are not letting y'all down with those. So,
Yeah. And we'll probably, maybe probably in like the first episode or something, kind of dig more into why we're watching Star Wars on a horror podcast and what it is that, how we understand horror and what it is that makes Star Wars count within that kind of stuff.
For sure, for sure.
Beyond the like general statement of anything can be horror.
Yeah. But at the very least, if it would help put your mind at ease, we're watching Star Wars from a horror perspective. Maybe that will help. But yeah. Anyway, yay, join us September 7th. I'm super excited. We have a lot of, Emily and I are taking July off. Thank God. But then we're going to start recording, get a head start in August. So I'm really excited. It's going to be a really fun season.
I'm excited too. It should be good. Yeah, so that's it for our show and our season. Our theme music was by Matt May. Horror Nerds at Church releases every Thursday. Please comment, rate, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Support us on Patreon and get access to exclusive movie commentary episodes, BooTube episodes, and more bonus content by going to patreon.com/horrornerdsatchurch. It's only $5 to sign up, cheaper than moving out of a haunted house. Follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Horror Nerds at Church and Twitter at HNACPOD for all the latest updates about upcoming films, news, and other announcements. Until next time, stay spooky and maybe be a little compassionate to the ghosts with unfinished business in your life.
I like it. Be spectacular? Bootastic? I don't know. Trying
Fabulous!
fabulous. There we go. There's a nice ghost pun to end on.
Thank you, Vampirina.